Good morning and happy Easter. What an awesome day it is to gather and worship here today. For those of you who are guests with us, I just want to say welcome, introduce myself. My name is Jarrett Shepherd, and I'm on staff at Safe Haven Church, part of the teaching team, and it's just an honor to stand before you today. And like some of you in this room, I am an alum of this great school and gym right here. Now, there's some of you in the room that Jamie Glasgow reminded me on Friday night that they're not alum of this school, but the old school. So I don't know what that says about you, but, you know, we'll just leave it at that. But, hey, it's cool. This is cool. If you'd have told me, if you saw my post last night, if you'd have told me 25 years ago when I walked through those doors as a punk little freshman kid that we were going to have an Easter service here, I would have laughed. But then if you would have said, hey, Jarrett, you're going to have an Easter service and you're going to preach at it, I would have told you had lost your mind. That's for sure. But it's cool. It's a neat moment for me because we get to do this. And secondly, it's a neat moment for me and my Wildcat heart for Annalisa Weigel and Lance Wilson to be in this school today and excited to be here. So if you know them, you know what I mean. It's no secret that Safe Haven Church feels that the church and the schools are the heartbeat of the community. It's no secret. And so today we get together as a church, in a school, as a community, and as a family. As a family, we get together and worship today. So if you are a regular attender, if you are a guest, it doesn't matter. If you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus today, then we are family. Amen? So today, Easter Sunday, the day that changed the world. It changed time and space history. It changes every day of the year. Don't really know how that happens. I need somebody to really explain to me the full moon and the equinox so I can make sure I got it right on the calendar every year. It changes school calendars. We just had spring break like 2 weeks ago, it feels like, and then kids were out 2 days this week or out yesterday and out Monday, so they got like a second spring break, it feels like. It changes athletic calendars. The entire Southeastern Conference baseball schedule goes Friday, Saturday, and Sunday pretty much all year, right? This week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It changes American Idol. Tonight, we can go home and we can watch American Idol, and it's not Disney night or rock and roll. It's songs of faith and inspiration night on American Idol. It changes everything. It's indeed the most attended Sunday service of the year, especially here in our cultural South. So if you are here today, you've come to celebrate the fact that Jesus came out of the tomb. He's risen. But have you ever thought for a second, what if he's not risen? What if Jesus didn't come out of the grave? Well, there would be no Easter. There would be no new Sunday best to take your picture with your family. There would be no resurrection eggs on the counter at your mom's just waiting to be devoured when you get home. There would be no Reese's peanut butter eggs that are by far the best Reese's you'll ever have. We would be stuck. Our lives would be determined by our successes, our failures. Our identity would be locked. It would be eat, drink, be merry, die, be gone. Forever. We would have no answers for the guilt that we feel when someone wrongs you, or maybe you wrong somebody else. We would have no answers for our shame. There would be no relief to the pain in the moments of grief. Our sorrow would be unending. Mother Nature would simply just be brutal, harsh, and unkind. The survival of the fittest would reign supreme. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, the world would be our oyster. So just go and take it. And that family, to me, is terrifying. If that was the end-all be-all, how could we at night turn on our TVs, watch the news, or scroll through X, Twitter, whatever they call it, and see the headlines and be able to live a life of hope? If Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, there would be no hope. But on the other hand, he did. He did walk out of the tomb. And as followers of Christ, we can have hope. And we can clearly see the hope that is the resurrection. And so today I just want to walk through real briefly three freedoms that we have from the resurrection. So, number one, if he is risen, then followers of Christ are free from our past failures. Here's Paul's words, 1 Corinthians on the screen. Even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just focus on that last phrase there. Guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You ever thought about what it means to be guiltless or blameless? We had an incident in our living room this morning where some little blonde, really beautiful girl knocked over somebody's cup of coffee on the rug. And immediately there was blame going around. But I'm a fast driver. I get it honest. My mom drove fast growing up. I'm a fast driver. I have had my fair share of speeding tickets. Well, let's say you left today and you were driving. You got a speeding ticket. Somebody pulls you over. The speed limit's 55. You know it's 55. And you're like, you know what? I'm just going to drive 65. I don't care. I'm going to take my chances. Boom. Sirens go off. Pull over. You're just sitting there holding your license out like, yep, that's me. I did it. He writes you a ticket, and you're like, I'm not even going to worry about this. I know I did it. I'm guilty. I'm going to go take care of it. You just drive straight to the courthouse. You hold that ticket out in the window, and you're like, hey, I need to pay this. Just go ahead and take care of it. It was me. The clerk looks at the ticket. Sir, there's nothing there. What do you mean there's nothing there? I did it. I know I did. I can tell you the officer's name. I can tell you his badge number. I can tell you exactly where it was. I knew the speed limit, but I just wanted to drive fast anyway because I'm dumb. I just did it anyway. It's there. Sir, there's nothing on that piece of paper. Okay, go get the dash cam. I just need to take care of it. You can look at it, I promise. Sir, there's nothing on the dash cam. Nothing. You know you did it. You knew you were going to do it, but it shows nothing. That's what we as followers have when we place our trust in Christ. God looks at us and doesn't see you or your sin. He sees Jesus. So you're free. Believer, you are free today from all your past failures, all your past mistakes. Your slate is wiped clean on the righteousness of Christ alone. So, as we saw in the video, dads, mistakes, surprises, all those things, you're free. The pressure is off. You are freed from your past mistakes. You don't have to have your identity and your ability to produce and provide for your family. Those are good things. We should do those, but it's not your identity. Your identity is in Jesus. Moms, when you place your faith in Jesus, your identity is in Christ. It's not in your child's ability to perform in the classroom. It's not in your child's ability to perform on the ball field. It's not in your child's ability to behave when they're at their friend's house and you are not around. Because we know they're going to mess up. They're going to act a fool when they get away from you. That's not your identity. Students, your identity and your hope is not in your next test grade. Kids, your hope is not in your friends or how you play on the ball field. It is not your hope. I feel like a broken record, but it's important to say it. It's not your hope. This is what Paul is saying. Believer, at the moment of salvation, when you heard the gospel, you believed it. From that point forward, you are guiltless and blameless. Amen? That's the scandal of the gospel. Is that a man, the God-man, came down, saw you in your sin. He did everything the law fulfilled or required. He fulfilled the entire law because he knew you couldn't, and he died for you. That's what the gospel of Jesus is. You are freed from your past. And if he's risen, not only are we freed from our past, but as followers, we are freed to live joyfully in our present life. Galatians 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Life is really hard. There's no doubt about it. We all know what it's like to wake up and say, well, time to go to work. Got to get the kids to school. Got to get done through work and do all that stuff. Then I got to rush and pick up the kids from school, take one to music lessons, get the other one, drive him back across town and go to ball practice for 2 hours, then pick everybody up, go home, cook dinner, fold the laundry, clean the kitchen, put the kids down, and somehow take a break and rest for a minute. And then it's rinse and repeat every single day. Church family, life was not meant to be that way. You've heard it said many times if you're a regular attender at Safe Haven, we were created to walk in the garden with the Father in the cool of the day. That's what we were created to do. To be in unison with him forever. The rush here, rush there, get this done, do all these things mentality is a result of our fallen and broken world. Because of sin, life is hard. We wake up with backaches, toothaches, tax aches, sorrow, agony, and pressure every single day. But believer, if Christ is risen, the pressure is off. Hear that. The pressure is off. If Christ is risen, you are no longer bound to the pressure of performance because there's no audience that you need to perform for. You don't need a performance anymore. The pressure to produce so you can have the next new car, the big shiny house. Production is just worship. We use those opportunities as worship. The pressure of pettiness because somebody did something to you you didn't like and you want to go get them back, you ain't got to do that. You don't have to. It's done. The pressure of position so you can hold a certain status just so you can use your influence. The pressure of power. Because, man, if I just had that one position of power, look at all the good that I could do with it. The pressure is off. The chains of pressure are gone because Christ ripped those bad boys right off the wall when he walked out of the tomb. He defeated death, came out of the grave. So, singles, you're not bound to loneliness that you may feel when you haven't found a spouse yet. Marriage, you aren't held by the pressure of living the American dream and having the big fine house with multiple kids and the white picket fence and all the things. Athletes, you are not bound to the number of home runs you hit. You're not bound to the touchdowns that you run or the three-pointers that you make or the backhand swings that you hit on the competition floor. You are freed to enjoy life, because Christ has transformed life's meaning. He made it this: enjoy Him, worship Him, find value in Him in whatever you do. Whatever you do, find your value in Him, no matter what anybody else thinks or says. That's how we are freed to live in the present joyfully, because He is risen. So if we are freed from our past, and we're freed to live joyfully in the present, then, believer, if He is risen, we most certainly are freed to hope in the future. And this is my favorite part. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 on the screen. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, and by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, see also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Family, because Christ is risen, Paul tells us clearly that although we may die here, at that moment, as a believer, we are more alive than we ever will be on this earth. Christ defeated death forever. It does not hold us down as believers. And because He defeated it, we have a hope in heaven. You see, Jesus told His disciples in John chapter 14, He said, hey, I'm going to go do this, and then I'm going to leave you because I'm going to prepare a place for you. So that's what we hope in. This world is not the end. We hope in the place that Jesus has gone to prepare and promised to us. So because He is risen, we have the hope of heaven instead of some fatalistic unknown. I can remember as a kid, death used to terrify me. Because of what? The unknown. But because of Jesus, there is no unknown. We know what's going to happen. And that is the hope of heaven. We have the hope of heaven instead of what the Bible teaches as separation in hell, right? Heaven and hell are real places. One is full of God's glory and all His people, and one is completely devoid of it and full of anguish and unending pain and suffering. That's our hope. We have the hope of community instead of isolation. Nobody in here likes to be by themselves. Nobody in here likes to be by themselves forever. We have the hope of community. We will all get together just like this for all eternity and worship. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation will be united as one, and we will sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, forever and ever as a family. That's what the hope of heaven is. We have the hope of heaven that is rest. Freed from works, freed from religion, it is finished will now be our cry instead of, hey, let's go get that done real quick. It's already done. And we have the hope of life. We have the hope of life instead of death. As believers, we know that death is not the end. We know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And although death sucks really bad in the here and now, that's the only way to put it. We have the comfort of 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13, right? We grieve when we experience death as those who have hope. We grieve with hope. Everybody in this room knows what it's like to lose someone. The majority of you in this room know our story and the story of our loss. And the only reason why I'm standing before you today is because of Jesus. The only reason why is because of Jesus. And we have a hope that we all get to be together one day. Biblically, yes. The number one treasure of heaven is to see Jesus face to face. Is to talk to Jesus face to face. Is to hold his hand and walk around and enjoy his presence for all of eternity. That is the treasure of heaven. But I'd be lying to you today if I didn't tell you that I can't wait to see Eden Lauren again. One of my favorite things was going to pick her up from school. And you've all had kids and you pick them up. I'd go upstairs in that room and there would be somebody else's kid and say, "Eden, Daddy's here." And they all go crazy and excited because they get to see somebody else's daddy. And then Eden comes barreling out of the room. And Lord willing, one day, I won't get to go up there. And somebody's going to say, "Eden, Daddy's here." And she's probably going to come running out growling, for one, if you know her. But two, she's going to come running and we're going to hug and we're going to laugh and we're going to dance and we're going to enjoy Jesus together. She's going to say, "Hey, Daddy, come look at all this stuff Jesus showed me." How great is that? Her and I, we're going to walk together with Jesus for all eternity and ask questions and learn the mysteries, the unending mysteries of the gospel for all eternity. That is the hope of heaven. And the only reason why we have that hope today is because Jesus is risen. He's risen. That's the great news of this Easter Sunday. So before we wrap this up, it would be a disservice if I didn't tell you the truth of the gospel, right? The truth is Jesus bled and died for us that so we can enter into a relationship with him. But that death is exclusive only to believers. He didn't die for everyone. He died for those who believe in him. So guys and gals, the hope of the resurrection is that Jesus went to the cross for you, died the death that you deserved, so that you could enter back into a right relationship with him. The Bible says that there's only one way to the Father, right? Jesus claims there's only one way to the Father, and that is through the Son. It's the only religion in the world that says that. It's exclusive. Muhammad, he died. Guess what? Still dead. Gandhi, he died. Still dead. Buddha died, still dead. Jesus died, guess what? He's alive. Today, Jesus is alive. So if you're an unbeliever in the room, you're either probably a thinker or a feeler. And you're looking for some facts, right? Every fact you need to know about Jesus and what he did for you is in this book. It's not Aesop's fables. It's not some fake fun stories. It is the real, true word of God that tells the story of all creation and how there was a redemptive plan that when sin entered in the world in the garden, that God put a plan in place to bring it all back. So if you're an unbeliever today, you can trust that these words are true. You can trust that everything that is in this book is true about Jesus. Every prophecy fulfilled, every plan fulfilled, everything needed for salvation was done because Jesus did it for you. You can trust in him today. Some of you are feelers. And right now, you got this burning in your chest. You just feel something's different. It is hot in here. But it's different than that. You can't explain it. It's just this supernatural feeling that you have. If you're feeling that and Jesus is tugging on your heart today, let him overcome your resistance. He's worth it. And if you're ready to do that, the Bible is very clear. It says, confess your sin, place your trust in the finished work of Jesus, and then walk in faith daily. And if you're ready to do that today, there is a handout that you got. I have one somewhere. There it is, right here. Stay there. It's not going to do that. There's a handout right here. In it, there's a place where you can fill your name out, and you can check it and say, hey, I'm ready to walk in faith with Jesus. I'm ready to turn my life over to him. Fill that, and there's a box right over here. Drop it in, and we want to follow up with you. We want to take you to coffee. We want to have lunch with you, and we want to just brag on Jesus because he's worth it. He is absolutely 100% worth it. That's the good news today, that you can place your faith and trust in him. You can believe on him, and you can have a day of salvation today. And as the band comes back up, believers in the room, today is the good news of great joy. Christ is risen, and you are freed from your past. You're free to live joyfully today, and you are freed to hope in the future. You're freed to smile. You're freed to be happy. You're freed to puff that chest out a little bit, strut out of this gym. You can get your little Conor McGregor, Vince McMahon going, and you can strut right out of this bad boy, and you can be proud that Jesus did the work for you. And not just today, but every day the rest of your life. So we're going to end it right here. Not end it with song, but, you know. I'm going to ask you all to stand up with me. We're going to end this with a little traditional call and response, okay? And we can be proud, we can be loud, like we're cheering on touchdowns, hitting a buzzer beater on the other side of the curtain. Some of you don't know what's going to happen. Some of you do know what's going to happen. When I say it, you know it. Say it out loud, okay? Happy Easter, church. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Oh, let's do it one more time. We can do better than that. All right, you learned. If you didn't know, now you learned. Here we go. Happy Easter, church. He is risen.
He is risen.
There we go. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for doing the work for us, Lord. Thank you for dying for us so that we could enter back into a relationship with you, that we can have hope. It's all because of you. It's all for your glory. In your name.